Well, all I can say is I'm glad it stopped raining, because if my glasses get all wet and these notes get wet, I will be sunk, because I also am not a public speaker. You know, I take care of the elderly, and so this is kind of a new experience for me, but I'm happy to be here. And I was asked to share with you a little bit about how this HHS mandate affects us in a practical realm in our service to the elderly here in Louisville. We also have 29 homes in the United States, a little less than 200 around the world. And our sole ministry is to the elderly, and especially to the elderly of low income. So this mandate has created a lot of concern for us because of that. Right now, we are in a period called Safe Harbor by some people, and others, it's a form of certification that allows us to continue our ministry, not provide for the criteria of the health mandate for another year. So, you know, as a result of that, we still have time to do our little part in reference to trying to get this overturned. We obviously stand with the bishops of the United States. We are very much oriented to be daughters of the church and to be faithful, you know, to our Holy Father. Cardinal Timothy Doylen of New York has spoken on this HHS mandate a number of times. And I want to share with you a few little practical things that he said. We, like most religious institutions, do employ a number of employees. And the HHS mandate provided for exemption from the criteria there if you have 50 or less employees. Now, in a situation like ours, where we care for the sick and the elderly, we have staff round the clock. Therefore, even in a small home like we have in Louisville, we do have nearly 100 employees. So we would not be exempt from that point of view. When the Cardinal was speaking on one occasion, and he did the math, and I did not go back to check it, but anyway, he had said that if we had just 51 employees in any of our institutions and did not comply with what is being asked of us by the government, we could end up spending nearly $2 million extra during the course of a year in penalties because of not following this the mandate. Now, we little sisters only receive less than 50% of our operating revenue on a monthly basis, and we have to find ways to supplement that. We do it. We have two sisters that go out begging every day, and they try to go to the church collections on Sundays in order to help supplement the needs so that we really can give quality care to our elderly with the dignity that they deserve. And so you can imagine the impossibility of trying to raise an additional it would even be more than 2 million because of the number of employees that we have. So another solution to this would be, and it kind of goes along with this, if we don't offer health care benefits to our staff, that's not the direction we want to go in either. That's really not Christian, according to at least our philosophy. So we, like everyone else in this domain, have to, you know, we certainly have been praying. You know, our residents are between 63 and 100. But every day they say this prayer and have been saying it for a year now, to have this overturned and that religious freedom would be respected in our country. There's another aspect of this HHS mandate also that is a great concern for us, is that if this should pass the way it is written right now, it won't be long before it starts to affect the other end of the spectrum. And right now, the nursing home industry is the most highly regulated in the United States. And as funding would diminish, there's an open door there for euthanasia. So that is, you know, it's, the writing is on the wall. We have to, you know, we have to see it. And as the other speakers have said, we have to stand up for what we believe and to fight for what we know is true. We issued a statement in the month of March concerning the HHS mandate, something that's generally not done by the Little Sisters. We usually kind of keep a very low profile. But we felt it was very important to do that. In June, one of our sisters addressed a congressional reception sponsored by the Government Relations Office of the Catholic Bishops Conference. And this was held at the Capitol. And then there was also our regional superiors signed an open letter from religious leaders that had also been signed by many of the bishops of our country. And then I'm thinking some of the parishes, but we did it actively in our home, was this Fortnight for Freedom, the 2 weeks prior to July 4th, that we prayed very significantly each day. And the residents were very receptive to that, and it was a wonderful opportunity for us to invite some of our neighbors or anyone else that wanted to come to join us for this. And as the other speakers have said, you know, religious freedom has always been part of our Constitution. We want to try to preserve it, you know, and to fight for it. And one of the things that's very important is education. You know, there's a lot of people out there and a lot of Catholics that don't have any idea, you know, what this is all about. And so you're here today because you know what it's about. So we need to pray and to do our little part to try then to, you know, overturn this mandate and, you know, so that we can go forward in being able to give the service and the ministry that we so desire in whatever sector of God's kingdom that He has called us. So I thank you for your invitation today, and we join with you in prayer and in sacrifice that this may go forward in peace. God bless you.